inches away from the outstretched hands.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Pop in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. When the Giants won Super Bowl 42, they used a ferocious pass rush, timely passing by Eli Manning. But the cornerstone of that offense was the offensive line, once dubbed the worst line in the National Football League. It had high draft picks, free agents, and a mix of players that bonded together to form a special unit. Here's a look at that offensive line from 2007 in their own words.
Our whole offensive line, they were my brothers. We played next to each other, we fought, we made fun of each other, but we had each other's backs.
That O-line group was special because of their continuity, their love for one another. They were a band of brothers. They were, if any group, probably the tightest, closest-knit unit we had, and they played like it.
Well, if you dealt with one, you had to deal with all of them. I mean, that's how close they were. I mean, they were all brothers. I mean, you rarely seen them off the field without each other. I think that's what, you know, helped them guys be as good as they were.
Band of brothers. I mean, we fought and did everything together.
We worked. We, you know, constantly pushed each other and made each other better.
Those five guys, I can't say enough about them, you know. Those guys were special. They knew each other's strengths. They knew each other's weaknesses. And we had guys on that offensive line that held each other accountable. And they put it on the line every week. Banged up, hurt. We had holes out there the size of Texas.
Hand off Jacobs. He runs right, follows his blockers to the goal line. Touchdown, Giants.
I think it was the collective knowledge that we had of one another and being able to play with one another as a group on a consistent basis.
They didn't make mistakes. You know, if there was a blitz, you get us once, maybe. You're not going to get us twice because they're going to figure it out. You got some smart guys up there, physical, mean. When I think of a team, when I think of building up a group of guys to a level that they probably couldn't have gotten to by themselves, then I think of that offensive line.
Yeah, it's a special group. You know, Dave Deal and Richie Sorbert and O'Hara and Snee and Kareem McKenzie. You know, it's just a great group of guys. No one who I'd rather go to, you know, go into a battle with on Sundays than those guys.
We were a group that at one point was called the worst group in the NFL, and we all took that to heart. During that time, you never heard us talk, do a bunch of interviews or media. We're going to prove people wrong by our actions. We're going to be the first ones there. We're going to be the last ones to leave, and we're never going to have any excuses. And our guys on our offense, when they look into the huddle, they're going to see five guys that are going to stick together and fight until that whistle's blown. And that's the attitude that we had together.
That became our motivation, and it kind of became our battle cry and our rallying point.
Let's go. Every time they score, we score. Let's go.
The team started clicking at the right time. You know, it was the end of the year, the offense started playing like we were supposed to play.
The confidence was developing on the offensive line, and then when, you know, we started that 07 season, you know, we felt that we had the potential to be the best offensive line, and, you know, that was our goal.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 offensive line. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 offensive line.
People ask me, well, what separated 07 from all the other years? We were close that year. On game days, we had each other's backs, and we supported each other, both sides of the ball. Nobody cared who got the credit. We just wanted to find a way to win.
But the Giants dug themselves into a huge hole when they lost the first two games of the season to the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers.
We knew that if we had to have any chance, and if we wanted to build this football team and this organization into where we want to go, we have to stick together as a group. And to start that year 0-2, I mean, it was a gut check. I mean, obituaries were written on all of us until we said enough was enough in Washington and turned things around.
takes the snap, handoff left for Bats, and he's tripped up and stopped short. Giants stopped him on fourth and goal, and they're going to win the ball game.
That goal line stand really, I think, was our wake-up call for our whole team, and it was really a defining moment in that season.
After the dramatic victory over the Redskins in Washington, the Giants ripped off six consecutive wins. They would also not lose another road game for the rest of the season.
That was a sign of who we were, just that finish. When the chips were down and our backs were against the wall, we stuck together and fought out of it. And that was the blueprint for us for that season and winning so many games on the road like we did.
And in Week 16, the Giants traveled to Buffalo, needing one more road win to secure a playoff spot.
Talk about backs against the wall. I mean, that was one of those games that you realize that if you don't come out and put everything together, not only in just your drives, consistently play after play, we could be on our way home.
We go up to Buffalo. The weather was not good.
There was sun, snow, sleet, rain.
You had snowflakes going sideways. I've never seen that before in my life.
The weather got so bad, we couldn't throw it. You couldn't catch it, couldn't see, and you had to run it. And they knew we were going to run it, and we ran it, like, successfully, 257 yards worth.
We thought going into that game that we'd be able to run the ball effectively. And, you know, the run game is just something that you just have to stick with, and Coach Gilbride did that, and we pounded the rock that day.
That performance by, you know, O'Hara and Sean and Dill and Snead and Kareem, man, you basically put 9 men in a box and you run the football down somebody's throat. I mean, it says a lot about those guys up front.
And midway through the fourth quarter, the offensive line received a special request from their rookie running back.
I'll never forget Ahmad Bradshaw. Ahmad would come in the huddle and he would say, "Oh, come on, guys. Oh, just give me a little crack. I'm going to take it to the house."
I even told, you know, Chris and all the boys, I said, "I'm taking this. I'm scoring this if y'all block it right."
You talk about the confidence of a young player coming into a game in a moment like that, wanting the football. I mean, that next play, we call it. It's blocked up perfectly. And what does he do? He takes it to the house.
Hand off Bradshaw, up the middle, finds a crease, up to the 20, 25, 30. It's a foot race. Bradshaw to the 40, to midfield. No one's going to get the rookie Adam Marshall. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ahmad Bradshaw. 88 yards for the rookie. And the Giants widen their lead with 6:12 to go. And the rookie may have run the Giants into the postseason.
36 power. I pulled. I'd gotten the linebacker's way, and he went, I think, right off my back down the sideline.
Ahmad Bradshaw, the rookie for Marshall, is going to take it all the way, 88 yards for a Giants touchdown.
It was blocked up perfect. All I had to do was just get to the second level, and at the time I was fast, being a rookie, so, you know, I just used my speed to the end.
Shot out of a cannon, this kid. He never gives up. What desire he has. So explosive, guys.
I mean, that's one of those feelings as an offensive lineman, that just pure pride.
Seeing him just pulling away from everybody as he ran up the sideline, and I think the snow was coming down at the time, you know, and that was kind of the legend of Bradshaw was born, and that pretty much solidified that we were going to be in the playoffs. It was a big moment for all of us.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 offensive line. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 offensive line. When the Giants traveled to Tampa Bay to battle the Bucs in the NFC wildcard playoff game, they would be without their center and team captain Sean O'Hara, who was injured in their Week 17 loss to the New England Patriots.
It was tough sledding knowing that I was going to miss a playoff game, especially because I felt like kind of had something special going. I felt like Gray Rugemeyer did a great job stepping in, and I was genuinely happy for him to get to go and play. I remember how hot it was. I was actually kind of glad I didn't have to play in that game. They had a couple of 16-play drives, and every time they came off the field, both Soibert and Snee and Gray were like, "It's too hot out here. I can't believe that you're not playing this game." You know, they were mad that I sat that one out.
You never want to see a teammate go down, but we know that we had, you know, six or seven guys that could play. So the next guy came in and played well, and we found a way to win, and so Sean could play the next week.
The following week, New York traveled to Dallas for the NFC Divisional Playoff game. Dallas had beaten the Giants twice during the regular season, and they were heavy favorites to win again. But the Giants' offensive line immediately took control on New York's first possession.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Swings one left. Wide open Toomer at the Cowboy 40. Sheds a tackle. Down the left sideline. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Amani Toomer.
And that is one of those legendary games, from Amani spinning out at the sidelines to a touchdown to RW closing that game.
To the end zone, intercepted by the Giants. RW for corners.
You're celebrating and you walk off and you know that you're playing the next week. To do that against Dallas at their place, it was a special win for us.
Welcome to Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Second coldest game ever at Lambeau Field. -1 degree with a wind chill of -23.
As an offensive line, we decided to make the decision to go no sleeves.
Offensive lineman, we don't wear sleeves, right? No sleeves underneath, so we had the elbow sleeves on. So you only had about an inch of skin, the two spots showing.
Normally, I would go out on my own and, you know, before the team and run and stretch. You know, a lot of us did that. That game was a little different. Yeah, it was the quickest that anybody went out for a pregame warm-up. There was no getting warm in that warm-up.
But on New York's first play from scrimmage, running back Brandon Jacobs provided some serious heat that fired up the offensive line.
For Brandon Jacobs to start that game off running over Charles Woodson and to hear that hit and that smack, it let you know this is a football game. It doesn't matter about the weather anymore.
It sounded like two Rams colliding on a cliff somewhere and just kind of going head to head. I remember hearing the Packers players saying, "Yo, Charles, you okay? Yo, Charles, yo, Wood, you good?"
It warmed us up, and I think it gave us confidence. You know, he came back to the huddle screaming like he always does and amped up, and it got us jacked up. And,
you know, that just kind of set the tempo for what the day was going to be.
The bitter cold also didn't seem to affect quarterback Eli Manning and Plaxico Burress, who combined to put on one of the greatest aerial displays in Giants playoff history. New York held the ball for over 40 minutes and racked up 377 yards on offense in a back-and-forth battle that saw five lead changes. And in overtime, Lawrence Tynes had a chance to atone for two earlier misses and send the Giants to Arizona.
I remember, as we were lining up to kick the field goal, saying to myself, if Tynes misses a third one, he's walking home.
All right, here goes Tynes again to kick the Giants to the Super Bowl. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. Does it have the distance? It is
good.
Good! Yeah! Lawrence Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl. In overtime, they beat the Packers 23-20.
I turned around first to find Tynes, and he was already gone. I mean, he took off sprinting down the field, and I heard him say, "We're 60 minutes away." And that was kind of when it first hit me. Wow. We are one game away from a world championship.
To win the way we did, the journey we had, but to win at Lambeau Field, you know, in the weather conditions that it was, you couldn't write a better script.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 offensive line. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 offensive line.
The New York Football Giants and the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42.
How did the Giants pull off one of the major upsets in Super Bowl history?
We went into that game in Super Bowl 42 saying, we're going to dictate the outcome of this game. We're not going to let them do it.
And the Giants' offense was determined to set the tone on the opening drive.
Jacobs, more room to run, and he lowered his shoulder as he crossed the 40. He just blew right through Brandon Merriweather.
You know, as an offensive player, our meeting all week was, let's keep the ball. You know, let's own the time of possession, which we did on the first drive.
Hand off Bradshaw, runs right, he's carrying Patriots. Kid Bradshaw showing feistiness on a power run.
It's starting to feel like smash mouth football.
We marched right down the field, And I remember Rodney Harrison kind of, he was always jawing, always yapping. And I remember just talking a little smack to him and just saying, yeah, we're for real.
So here comes Lawrence Tynes trying to cap off this long time-consuming drive. Snap is good, kick on its way, end over end, and it is good.
The Giants, Geno, consumed 10 minutes of playing time.
It gave us confidence. You know, it was the first drive. We were all pretty amped up.
But I think it kind of motivated us, too, that we had a little unfinished business.
The Giants' 16-play, just under 10-minute opening march, was the longest drive in Super Bowl history and put New York up 3-0. But late in the fourth quarter, the Patriots would take the lead.
Brady gets set, takes the snap, back to throw, lobs one right for Moss, touchdown! And the Patriots have the lead.
So the Giants know what they have to do. They've got to go 83 yards in 2:39.
17-14, fellas. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
I wanted to relay to them what I really believe needed to happen. I need you guys to score a touchdown. We need to be world champions.
And I think for him to come up over to us as we're getting ready to go out on the field, you know, he was just kind of telling us, hey, look, I believe in you guys.
Manning looks right, throws right, completes it right to Toomer. First down, Giants.
You're obviously focusing on as an offensive line. No penalties, give up no sacks.
Takes the snap, back to throw. Slides left, throws left, completes it to the 38-yard line.
Very close.
She's short.
Just short.
Fourth and the length of a football, 11 and a half inches.
This is the ball game.
Fourth and one, and give it to the big boy and let him pummel it up the middle.
Manning, hand off Jacobs, runs right, dives ahead, he's got the first down.
Yeah, they kind of ran right behind me. And it was one of those things where if he's not Brandon Jacobs, you know, a massive human being, we don't win the game.
But after an Eli Manning scramble for 5 yards and a near interception by Asante Samuel, the Giants would face another third down conversion attempt.
Third and five for the Giants. 1:16 to go. Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Under pressure. Avoids the rush. And he's going to fight out of it. Still fights out of it. Now throws it deep downfield to Tyree, who makes the catch at the 23-yard line. What a play by Manning. He eluded 3 sacks.
I forget specifically what play it was, but I know that was blocking Mike Vrabel. And I'm blocking him. And all of a sudden, I see Eli next to me like, what? And he's getting away from Richard Seymour.
And I see Seymour coming around, and I remember him grabbing Eli. And I thought, that's it. I just gave up a sack in the biggest game of my career. And then somehow, Eli rose from the ashes and broke the only tackle he's ever broken in his life.
But we never gave up. You know, both of us tried to peel back and get a block and get him off of Eli. And, for my eyes was, throw the ball, right? Throw it. Like, throw it, Eli, throw it.
I see him just wind back and throw it. It's going down the middle of the field. I'm like, okay, that's not where I was hoping he would throw it.
Ball gets thrown, and it felt like it was up in the air forever. And Tyreek jumps up, and I'm thinking, I don't know, did he catch it? Did he not catch it? It looked like they were battling for the ball.
We hear the crowd go crazy. Ball's caught. Wait, did he just catch it off of his helmet?
It is caught by Tyree.
Once again, you know, we found a way to make a play when it shouldn't have been there.
3 plays later, Plaxico Burress made an even bigger catch for the Giants.
Takes the snap, looks left, lobs it left, Burress is wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, and the Giants regain the lead, Manning to Burress.
We had Plaxico one-on-one, and you know, there was no doubt where I was going. I was throwing it high in the corner end zone and let him make a play.
Honestly felt like the ball was sailing for 4 or 5 seconds and you just see it going.
It took forever. It really did. I think I could have ran down there and caught it before Plaxico did.
Just Eli and Plax playing catch, because I don't even think the play was designed to go over that. I think it was just Eli kind of seeing the coverage and seeing what was going on and, you know, just making a big play.
And that is it. The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots,
17-14, and the Giants, with the most improbable win in recent memory, have won Super Bowl 42.
Read all about it, baby! Big Blue!
The confetti starts going down, you know, and I just kind of remember just hugging as many people as I could, whoever you saw.
Just seeing the amount of people just celebrating along with us was something that I don't think I'll ever be able to forget.
When you accomplish something like winning a Super Bowl, it's honestly one of the greatest feelings, because not only are you bringing joy to the things that you have in your life, but you're bringing joy and happiness to those who have helped you accomplish it as well.
You take a minute and you said you did it. You know, this is something that when you're a little kid playing in your backyard, this is what you want to do. You want to win the Super Bowl. And I did. We did as a team.
From the bond of the teammates to the coaches, you know, it's just that bond, you know, will never be broken.
That offensive line from 2007 had a toughness and a grittiness. Plus, they get to practice against the best defensive front in the NFL. That line was greater than the sum of their parts. And they heeded their leader's advice, Michael Strahan, listening intently and helping the Giants on that final drive to capture Super Bowl 42. That wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Papa in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.